I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 37. Once again, we stay away from NASCAR, Christian. NASCAR's season's over.
It's done. We don't need to be talking right. About it.
I'm just trying to find cars that, because every time I put a number in, a NASCAR car comes up. Mm-hmm. But this one back to the glory days of British touring car racing. The number 37 Nescafe Renault Laguna. And they were actually run by the Williams F1 team.
That's cool.
Christian's looking this up. I gotta see this picture.
I am. Hold on. What did you say? Renault?
1999 Renault Laguna. Like Laguna Seca. Yeah. And then put BTCC.
Sorry. 99?
Yeah, 1999.
Oh yeah, okay. I've seen this one. I'm horrible with car models.
No, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a very good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the correct Renault badging.
Yes. All right. Not Alpine.
It's not even that. It's just like it's a good looking style.
That was a French English collaboration.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll talk about F1 in Brazil. I need Nate here for that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about WEC, the season finale in Bahrain. Also, Porsche's swan song.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And then we'll talk news and notes. Getting light on the calendar here.
It's getting light, but there's some...
There's stuff this weekend, though.
This weekend?
Yep, this weekend. Fantastic.
Oh, MotoGP and supercars, yeah.
Well, you're missing something more dramatic.
Oh, what's more dramatic than that?
It's the Macau Festival of Speed.
Oh, fantastic. I see that. When I put everything on the calendar, it's usually around the time that they release the calendars for next year. So I already have like a lot of the stuff in for next year.
Yeah.
But all the special one-off events.
Specialty events.
Yeah.
They never show up on the calendar.
No. Or like I don't hear about them until, hey, it's this weekend. Or like,
yeah, it's
or
this
it was
weekend.
Last weekend.
So
I was like,
fire okay, up your YouTube well, to find this. Yeah, I don't know if the bikes are running there, though.
Oh man,
they literally run bikes there. But it's going to be GT3, and I think Formula 3 runs there.
Yeah.
It's not GP3. It's Formula. I think they're Formula 3 cars. That's what I.
Yes.
The Asian Formula 3 series, but like back in the day, this was like the World Series of Formula 3.
Yes.
And that was even before the touring cars went there. But now it's GT3 cars, which is. Like driving trucks, Macau. So, anyways, so it's gonna be interesting. So we'll get to that. All right, let's go to F1. Sprint weekend. Red Bull was trash on Friday and Saturday. We can safely say that.
Yeah.
Lando took the win in the sprint race, got the 8 points. Oscar had a DNF, not good. So, anyways, what are you going to do? All right, let's move on to the race. Red Bull, as I said, with a disastrous qualifying setup. It was so bad that they put Yuki's setup on Max's car.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to.
Which be I think they would just. I think they would just every weekend, right? But I think they were taking a swing, and it obviously missed. But then it was all right. Well, now we're just going to rebuild the car and just start from pit lane. Why not?
Right. I mean, look at that turned out.
Pretty good. Turned out great for the lead driver for Red Bull. All right. Lando took the win. There was, as they say, controversy. I don't know. How did you take that the penalty on Oscar?
I think it was I'm probably just going to follow suit of what Hinch and Rossi were talking about on their podcast, where I think it's a 50-50 call, where
a racing incident.
Yeah, I mean it should have been just that, because I mean, really, realistically, this. Actually, before I even get to this one, the other move that I don't know if there was a penalty associated with it, but if there was, there shouldn't have been, was the Lawson and Behrman moment in the sprint race.
Yeah.
That is a racing incident, because if Behrman's getting turned around because he's trying to pinch Lawson because he lost the momentum and he's just fighting for his life at that point to keep that position. You're driving hard on a track that's relatively narrow, I would say.
Right.
But at that point, what do you expect? And it's in the wet, so you have to give a little bit of leeway. Fast forward to Sunday's race. It's not wet, so you can't really, put the blame on that. However, you're trying to do three wide into turn one. I think it was just a racing incident where everyone was trying to run each other to the absolute limit, and they just tried to occupy the same piece of track at the same time, and that just doesn't work. It's unfortunate that Leclerc got hosed out of that. He was done for the race. Anyways,
I'll be honest with you. I thought that was a little risky on his part, going to the extreme outside to make it three wide. I think he's,
Yeah, but I mean, Leclerc was not. I don't think he would have gotten hit or ran into. If the other two didn't touch, like the incident isn't with Leclerc, I think. I know because his car is there, and Kimi had to position his car accordingly. But by the time Kimi and Piastri made contact, there was a whole other car width and a half to Leclerc. So, I think it was a racing incident, just unfortunate at that point.
Yep. I just kind of wish Charles had kind of used his head a little bit more.
I don't think Leclerc did anything wrong. I think he was just the innocent victim in the whole thing.
Yeah, but does he really need to be out there three wide?
If the grip is that low on the inside, and you can position, you can carry enough speed, which it seemed. The other thing too is most of the other moves that were done into turn one were done around the outside.
Yeah, I know, but they weren't done. They were done with one car on the inside, and one car on the outside. There were two cars on the inside, and the high likelihood that something happens and or somebody jerks and goes in front of you, it's risky.
Right, but that's you're making a pass. It's going to be risky, regardless of whether you're on the inside or you're on the outside. Like I
don't know. I just thought. I mean, Ferrari needs to get points, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I didn't think that was the best move.
They do and they don't. I get the manufacturer's championship, but also like they aren't fighting really for much more. You know,
right? No, obviously.
So anyway. if he makes it move, or if he makes it and pulls it off, like that's great for Leclerc. But wasn't Piastri the one looking for the double overtake in that situation?
No, he was trimming a single, and then Leclerc tried to go to the outside. That's
all right. Well,
as soon as Oscar went to the inside, that's when Charles went to the outside.
Yeah,
that's kind of like I was kind of like, which is just it never, you know. I just didn't think it was. I just thought it was a high risk move that we had, you know, wasn't going to pay off, and it didn't, and he ends up getting a DNF. So,
yeah.
Anyways. As far as I like, there's so many great places to go with Driver of the Weekend, though. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I'll give you my two for the weekend until Sunday was Antonelli and Berman.
Yeah, those were good.
But it turns around on Sunday when guy starting in the pit lane drives to the lead of the race. And had he not had puncture, that was just my take on that. Had that puncture not happened, he could have definitely finished second, but definitely would have been more of a threat to the lead. You know, I mean, Antonelli was closing too from Lando. So.
Yeah, Lando did a great job. Controlling the race for sure.
Right.
However, this weekend was not done without. Pressure from behind, whether it was Oscar, Antonelli, and I mean in the race it was just kind of a question of where Max would end up with the drive that he put together.
It was great job by him, and that Sunday turned into a team effort for Red Bull. The guys worked overnight to get the car straightened out, and then GP and the strategy team, came up with an awesome job. So, I guess they sounds like they changed to a new spec floor. And I'm like, why would you, I mean, the one they had been using was new since the break. I mean, they had success with it. And I think Max had kind of unlocked some secrets with it. I don't know why you would have changed it at this point, you know?
Might be trying to test something for next year, or
I don't know.
Maybe they found something from the last iteration that they
possibly
that was easier. Or I'm sorry, not easier. Found even more performance after having some ideas from what they just put on the car.
So, right.
The other thing too is I'm sure this upgrade wasn't. It was probably found to be a performance advantage around the time where Max was starting to really be in question of like, can he win the title kind of deal.
Right.
So a little bit of time to put everything together, and now you're here with a new upgrade on the car that you would have thought would have helped in the championship, but not every upgrade works. So this is definitely one of those cases where either more time was needed or whatever setup combination just didn't work with it.
Yeah.
So, I was thrilled to watch the little battle that they had between Max and Alonso on track.
Yeah, that was fun.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was fun.
And they both used up every inch of track on each other.
Yeah, there was a couple of those battles.
Yeah. Conversely, I thought Alonso's battle on Bortoleto, even though it didn't end well for Bortoleto, he definitely
that was a rough weekend for him.
Yeah, it was. Bortoleto definitely got shown the way.
Yeah.
Of if you do not have the nose ahead of Alonso, then you do not own any bit of track in front of you. Yeah. That was, or I'm sorry, what was it? I can't remember if it was Alonso or if it was, or if I'm mixing it up with. I know Stroll was the one that put him off.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where Bortoleto got hung out to dry on the outside of, like the downhill hairpin that where you're coming back up the hill for the next hairpin. So and he got shuffled back, but
I mean
Interlagos is just a really good track for this.
It's fun. Yeah, like it's good.
I don't think it's really, even when it gets, you know, strung out a little bit, like it races very well.
Yeah, when the field's bunched up on it, you know, everyone's kind of on it, it's good. You know, obviously when you know, it rains, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, there are races there where, you know, the leader can get out in front and go, but I didn't think that was the case this weekend.
No, it's everyone seemed like you could follow, not necessarily that you could pass, but you could definitely just stay with the guy in front of you.
Right.
So then at that point you're just keeping the pressure on the guy in front of you to, if they make a mistake, they make a mistake, and you can be there to capitalize, kind of deal. So.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it for the race.
Yeah, I mean, well, that and Bortoleto's crash at the end of the race. That was
at the end of the sprint race. You mean?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, that was brutal. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Or wait, was it the sprint race? I thought it was the...
Yeah, no, it was sprint race.
Yes, okay.
Because they rebuilt the car. They almost got it rebuilt for qualifying.
That's right.
Qualifying was 2 hours later. I think they would have had it, but...
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, let's just take a quick peek at the driver's standings right now. Lando is now 24 ahead of Oscar, and he is 49 ahead of Max. And Max is 25 behind Oscar. I think Max needs a DNF. He needs a double DNF, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely reaching the...
There's three races left.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is... Of the three races left, Vegas is probably McLaren's weakest track.
Yeah.
I would imagine Qatar, they'd be quite strong, and...
Yeah. Toss up at Bahrain.
Yes, Marina, or Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I think that one's a 50-50 of, like, whoever pretty much wins qualifying will be the the race winner at that point.
Yeah.
But it won't be like, I don't foresee, you know, like Red Bull and McLaren should be the top two cars there. I don't see the other cars being involved in the top battle. So
the question is, so if let's just say Max wins at Vegas, right?
Yeah.
And let's say, you know, the worst happens at McLaren. They have a double. They don't score points. Let's you know, they're down like, you know, 10, whatever. The low end of the points. So Max takes a big points haul. Mm-hmm. How much, you know, that now it gets down to the nooses tightening.
So yeah,
we'll see what happens there.
But even that, it's what, Lando's 50 points out in front of Max.
49.
So, I mean, he needs Lando to have a double DNF.
Yeah.
In these last two races, which...
Well, yes, Lando has two bad races, Max wins, and then Oscar say wins Qatar, and it goes down. Now you're at Abu Dhabi, it's...
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
The noose is definitely tightened around McLaren.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but, yeah, that's just kind of, like, where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Of more importance... the battle for second, third, and fourth in the constructors. did Liam Lawson score any points for Red Bull?
If he did, it was like two.
Okay, let's give him two.
But yeah,
of the 366 scored, right? Max has scored 341. So let's just say Yuki scored 23 and Lawson 2, right? So essentially, Max Verstappen is in third place in the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah. just to clarify here, I mean, how many races did Liam last? Like only three or four?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying. I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I'm looking at the results. Lawson didn't score any points until Monaco.
No points.
So it would have been only Yuki in that car scoring
Yuki,
points.
25 points. Mercedes is at 398. Unless Yuki finds some kind of pace or form, I can't see Red Bull overcoming this for a second. But if they lose third, right? If they lose third, let's just say this. This is on the second drivers for that team.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, I mean, you say it's on the second drivers. I think it's already on the second drivers. I mean, you're asking this.
Yeah.
You're asking them to have scored 32 points right now, which is to be in second.
It's reasonable.
Top four teams, say they run top eight positions every single race. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's 4 points right there.
Right.
So every time you finish outside of the points, you've lost 4 points.
True.
And I mean, even Yuki's had some okay races these last six or seven, but it's only like half of those races that have been good.
100%.
I mean, this past week he was nowhere. Mexico, he's just outside of the points. Coda, great weekend for him.
Yeah,
genuinely. Singapore, outside the points, not great because Max won the race.
Right.
Yep. No, I'm sorry.
No, George won.
George, I'm sorry. Max finished second that race.
Second, yeah, still.
No. Yes, yes. Sorry. This is a big table on Wikipedia. And then, here you go. Italy, outside the, or at Monza, outside the points, Max wins. The bigger issue was for him, he was outside the points from Monaco to Hungary.
Yeah.
I mean, again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So even 7 races, that's, you know, 28 points right there, assuming you just need him to score 8th place in each of those races. Yeah, they definitely should be in touching distance to Mercedes. I think at the very least.
Yeah. 100% agree.
Yeah, because, I mean, Max's 2 bad races on the year were Spain, which he got penalized, so he went from, like, 6th down to 10th. I think that's what the penalty was for him. And then at Austria, he finished 16th, but he got taken out.
Yeah.
So, not his fault. I'm sorry. That was you. That must have been Yuki's finish at 16th. No, I'm sorry. So Max just retired that race. He didn't get that was Yuki that finished 16th there. Again, getting mixed up on the table. Yeah, just you need that driver in the points.
Right.
And it's not cutting it.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on from that.
Yeah.
We got this weekend off, and then we're in Vegas for Under the Lights. So should be entertaining. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Bahrain. Overall, race was very calm. Toyota showed pace.
A lot of pace, yeah.
A lot of pace resulted in a 1-2 finish for them, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of hard work on that team this year. I will say that.
Yes. Yeah. And
they were, the BOP was not a friend of theirs this year.
No. And I mean, they also made some errors on their own too. Looking at Fuji, for example, but I mean, not a favorable year, for them performance wise with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out and just dominated.
Yes, they did.
At Bahrain.
Yep. So congrats to the number 7th car with the win. Ferrari went 3-4-5 to lock out the Manufacturers Championship. Mm-hmm. And then did they take the Drivers Championship or Porsche take it?
No, Ferrari took Ferrari took the Drivers as well.
And the Manufacturers?
Yep.
Okay. And then Cadillac was 6th. That was kind of a mixed result for them this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think we got to see bigger things out of Cadillac next year.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm not blaming the Jota guys. I'm talking Cadillac in general, meaning, you know, how much are they focusing on the F1 thing versus sports cars, you know?
Yeah. I guess I would have to look back and...
Yeah.
Or an interesting question I have is, how many Jokers have they gone through and what have they focused on upgrading. Yeah.
Right. No, that's true. I know Aston Martin finished seventh and 15th, but man, them and Peugeot and Alpine came on at the end of the season.
Yeah, they did.
So tons of hope, you know, that we'll have some other stuff there, you know, for the year to come. BMW had a rough one. The 15 car spun out, punctured, and basically broke the rim, and the car couldn't move.
Yeah.
They had to retire it on the spot. Like, it like couldn't even drive it around. But that was tough. Porsche, Jesus, just mail it in, guys. Wow. 13th, 14th, and then Proton was 17th.
Yeah. I mean, not that they had a whole lot of pace really at all this weekend.
Yeah.
But when I saw the BOP chart for this weekend, they didn't get any favors either. So going into the weekend, I thought it was going to be a pretty long shot of them even contending Ferrari, based on the direction that it went. So
okay, well there you go. Should move over to LMGT3.
Mm-hmm.
Team Lexus finishes first.
Yeah.
That's where they finished the season. So Toyota sweeps in Hyper and takes the win in GT.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to say that they got the BOP right in GT this weekend is an understatement.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good job this week.
Each manufacturer, I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm.
Place the car in the top nine.
Yeah.
So that's safe to say that that's the correct BOP there?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good batch
form.
To it. But the Lexus, Mercedes,
Aston.
And the Aston were definitely the three cars out front this whole weekend.
Front, yeah. Yeah.
But to go looking back through the rest of the grid, still great mix of variety. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's good stuff. Manti with Ryan Hardwick and those guys take the Drivers' Championship. So congrats to them.
Mm-hmm. Never a doubt.
Well done. All right. So we, what do we have? We had a young driver's test, alleged young driver's test.
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend, so on Monday and Tuesday, so kind of things have settled down. IMSA is testing this week or next at Daytona?
This weekend.
Okay. 38 cars they're testing.
Yep.
So should be interesting.
Yeah. I think there's a couple hypercar or GTPs running their new packages for next year. I think Acura and I think Cadillac is bringing an upgrade on this one. But I know Acura is as well to their cars that they're going to be running this weekend.
Yeah. So. All right, let's move into the news and notes space. IMSA. Romain Grosjean, freshly released from Lamborghini, will be driving in the Riley Mustang as the fourth driver for the race.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that at some point they're running a second car in that program. Or is this him starting with the Ford family to be one of the Ford drivers.
Could be. As excited as I was for the Riley program, the Mustang program.
Yeah, I'm not so excited with the driver lineup.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I'm not going down that road. I don't know. Nate's not here, so
yeah.
Anyways, great team. Just that uninspiring driver lineup. Let's say that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Potentially at WRT, Valentino Rossi could be out of a ride.
Yeah, I had saw that headline. I was a little confused, but I mean, if they want to shake things up, then I guess. I don't really see the reason why Rossi was on the way out, but
yeah. All right. United Auto Sports has announced their IMSA WeatherTech lineup for at least the 24-hour race. Mm-hmm. We got Phil Fair and Dan Goldberg, that are the bronze drivers. They'll be in the car for the entire season. Ben Hanley is joining the team.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Mikkel Jensen, ex-Peugeot driver.
Yeah.
Who left Peugeot. So guess where he's going to be running in hypercar. And they'll have Hunter McElroy in that car. Yep. And then we'll have your man, Paul DiResta.
Paul.
And Rasmus Lind will be in the Dan Goldberg car, along with Gregor Sosse. I like that name. Gregor Sosse.
Which car is this again?
That's the 22 car.
So okay. There's two cars in United Auto Sports.
At United Auto Sports, yeah. Bam. Yep. So.
All right.
So, there we go. Last bit of IMSA news came late today. Dragon Speed has decided to move from Ferrari with Rossi Competizione to their own program under the Corvette banner.
Dragon Speed to, yeah. That was an interesting one.
Good for them.
But yeah, I like
definitely that. Strengthens Corvette and in both categories.
I was going to say
they have AWA and these guys. So
yeah.
Well, AWA is changing the name, right? Yeah, 13 Autosport now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be in GTD now. It's going to be Dragon Speed DXDT. That's the one where Wickens is with,
yep.
and then 13 Autosport, which is AWA, but anyway, so
yeah.
Free, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, that's great for Corvette.
Makes it more fun there. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Dale Coyne has targeted Thanksgiving to have his driver signed for the second car.
Two more weeks. We'll know.
Yep. What if Nolan Siegel is going to take his pay ride from McLaren to Coyne?
And
that little nugget came out at from the Pelot trial.
That's right.
So he's paying for that seat. Way to go, Zach.
Yeah. Just for context, this was in the closing arguments, right?
Closing arguments. Yeah. They have not. The case has not settled yet.
Yeah.
But.
So. McLaren was. They were asking to seek, like, what was it, $200 million in damages?
I don't know.
Or 100. It was some crazy, stupid number.
The whole thing's crazy, anyways.
Yes, but the because they were like, oh, we've chosen this number because of Pelot's recent success, and with if we had the success with him, or I'm sorry, if he had that same success with us, then we would have had, you know, X dollars of profit from the marketing and whatever of that. Right. And it's like, well, one, you're assuming that you would have been still winning with Pelot, and that's not a guarantee, right? Yeah. But then two, the, which was, Pelot's defense side, being if you want, if you wanted a top tier driver to secure success on track performance, then yeah, you shouldn't have gone with Nolan Siegel, and you should have picked up someone like Newgarden.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Anyways, oh, I just love the fact that it was a pay ride, so that's awesome. Who was Seal driving with? He was at Coyne, right? And then he went to. Yeah, he was at Coyne, and then he went to McLaren, right?
Yeah, but I think Siegel only got the call up because Malukas had his hand hurt at the time.
Oh yeah.
Because Rossi was replaced by Lundgaard.
Lundgaard, right. Yeah. Oh, God. Siegel and Malukas. Oh, man.
So,
still can't believe Malukas is at Penske. I still don't get that, but hey.
Well,
whatever.
It's time for Will Power to win a championship next year.
For Andretti. Yeah. I know.
What a story that would be.
Let's see. On the Lamborghini front, they have announced a new Super Trofeo car to replace the Huracan.
Yes, the Temerario.
The Temerario?
Yeah. Yeah, this has been known for a while, but yeah, it's gonna be out next year, and FAF is gonna run it.
Is that their GT3 car too?
Yes, that's the okay. GT3 one. So yeah, FAF's gonna run that car for next year, which will be good. There was still in sports car land, some team switched over to McLaren for next year. I think it was Inception Racing.
I don't know. I'll have to go check.
Hold on.
Trying to see if I can find it here. Not on Racer.
No, maybe not Inception. I know someone is
switched over, is
running the McLaren for next year. So the 720S will come back.
Oh no. RLL.
Oh, jeez.
Letterman.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, that was a.
I forgot all about that.
Yep.
Anyway, that'll be fun.
Wow, that's fine. Bad. Yeah, RLL is running the McLaren next year, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll be a door open to running the McLaren hypercar in IMSA if they decide to.
Well, United run it? Yeah. Or would United run it? I mean, I know they'll probably United's going to run it at the WEC level. So maybe in IMSA it will be RLL.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think
maybe it will be RL.
At this point, they have a couple options that they can set that they're setting themselves up for. So who knows?
Yeah.
Going back to IndyCar for a second, we were talking about this before we started, but IndyCar and Firestone had a test at Phoenix over this past weekend.
Yes, they did.
Yep. And from listening to Rossi talk about it, it was him and Dixon that were the two cars out there, and he was saying that they did like 1,000 laps.
Yeah,
over the 2 days, and that they went through something like 20 different tires of whether it was compounds or a different construction of the tire
or whips. It was crazy. And Dixon said to Rossi, he hadn't done a tire test like this in like 10 years.
Yeah, so that's cool.
That's encouraging.
Going forward, it sounds like there's going to be another test in January, and then one more in either February or March. No, February.
There's another tire test. Yeah, there's another tire test somewhere. I don't know where. Probably that one will probably be on a road course, possibly. And then they'll do another test. Then there's an open test at Phoenix for the entire field. They haven't been to the track.
Yeah, but in regards of like tire testing itself for Firestone, the next test they said they're gonna have in January, February is they're just gonna bring three of the 20 or three new ones based off the data that they gathered. So that's cool. I mean this is the side of the racing you don't hear about,
because it hasn't been happening a while.
But this is all the stuff that goes on in the background, so then that way, you know, when you do turn up for a race weekend, that you have one, what you need, and two, something that works well.
I don't want to bring this up, but in
go for it.
In NASCAR land, one news piece of news: Trackhouse has given out its numbers for next year.
Yeah.
So Chastain's in the one. Connors Dillon is moving to the 88, and SVG's going to 97, which is the number he ran in supercars.
Nice. Nice.
That's awesome.
Just one other thing that we about IndyCar that we also found out through Rossi talking about the tire test. Supposedly the time of day race for Phoenix.
Oh, for Phoenix, yeah,
is going to be at noon on a Saturday.
Phoenix time, yeah.
Yeah, Phoenix time.
I was so jacked. You know, I was sitting there when they announced that race, and I said, the only good thing about that, even though it's going to be a NASCAR weekend, is it'll be Saturday night. Yeah. Noontime. It's like, so this is like an Indy NXT race.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely embarrassing. Well, the race is going to be in March.
The race is going to be in March. I get it, but it's... I think there's an Xfinity race that weekend.
I'm sure everything is going. I wouldn't be surprised if.
And what's everything going to be on?
Wait a minute.
Fox.
What? If they even, I guess I'd need to look up the schedule because I'm thinking there's like five support series. It would be maybe six. Sorry, maybe six series in totals.
No. I think it's just NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and IndyCar. There's no Indy NXT is not running.
Okay, so NXT is not running trucks.
Unless there's some unless there's some ARCA race or
I was going to say
the IndyCars, they can't shuffle the things in and out of the paddock.
Yeah, ARCA, that's been a race for them, or at least ARCA was.
I don't
know if trucks would be there that weekend as well, because they run there for the championship. Anyways,
I'll look it up for next week's show.
Yeah,
how's that?
All right. Well.
All right. Other than that, that's all I got.
Yeah, that not that I want to talk about more NASCAR at all, but apparently this legal cases.
No, I'm gonna wait till that.
Yeah, we're gonna wait on that one. All right.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, that's fine.
Everyone's throwing their toys at the wall. So, yeah. Anyways, I'm not a big fan of charters. I mean, this is like private seat license.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when did it become a club? You know, it's like bring you know, rock up and run, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just a scheme to get paid. That's all it is, both NASCAR and the teams. All right. We don't have anything next week. Have to get in touch with Nate, get his picks for Vegas in 2 weeks. And then, we'll have...
We might have some on the ground reporting from Vegas available to us.
Yeah. It's going to be suspect. That's going to be suspect.
So we'll see if
So what did you see from the grandstands? I just saw cars go by.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, we'll check in and see what happens.
Either that or, right. I missed the race. I was too busy.
Yeah.
Too busy gambling.
Yeah. It was too cold. It was at night.
Yeah.
All right. So we got, what do we got this weekend? We got MotoGP.
Yep. Supercars.
It's Supercars.
All right. Sandown.
And the Macau Festival of Speed.
Yes.
That's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be tuned in for that.
The
maybe not.
I did see one more. Where'd it go? This past weekend, where was the Lamborghini Super Trofeo finals?
Yeah. Finals, yeah.
And Wayne Taylor Racing took the win.
Yep, Danny Formel and Thomas Erickson, Marcus Erickson's brother, little brother.
So
took the world finals, and they won the U.S. finals.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because it was cool though. It was what was it, Wednesday? When did it start? It was Thursday, Friday were the regional finals, meaning European, Asian, and American, mm-hmm. North American. And then on Saturday, Sunday was the world finals, which I thought was cool. I mean, that's an awesome, like, if you could, I mean, as much as like the Porsche Supercars, I mean, Porsche mm-hmm. Super Cup series, I think the Lamborghini one and the Ferrari one are the best deals because they always have these end of the season championship, you know, the season, your regional final is say at Misano for Ferrari. And then they had the world finals over the weekend at Misano.
Yeah.
After they did those. And then with it, where was this? Was this at Mugello? It was.
Might have been. If it wasn't Mugello, I think it was Misano.
I got it. Hold on. It was at Misano.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that, where was the Ferrari? Was it the Ferrari? Was that Misano too? Wow. Busy weekend at Misano. I think it was. Must have been.
No, Mugello.
I don't know. I just
they did Mugello.
Ferrari was at Mugello.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this. That is a just – if you're a guy that's going to go racing, you just – you know, you, basically you just pay a team to prep your car and you run the whole season. You get to go to Italy for the a week of racing. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. All right. Anything else? Right. I think, or did we cover it?
No, I think that was, yeah, I think that was just about everything. I don't.
All right.
I mean, WC's wrapped up for a year.
NASCAR's wrapped up. Yeah, IndyCar's wrapped up.
Yeah. IMSA's
Super
done.
Formula's wrapped up.
No. Are they? I thought they have.
Yeah, I think. Are they?
No. Nope. They got one more weekend.
One more week. Where is it at? Where is it?
Suzuka. But it's it's not this weekend. You know, it's next weekend.
We got to study that for next year because that Super Formula, its field is going to be stacked next year.
It's slowly recovering. It's international drivers.
Yeah.
But I will say this: international drivers aside, the Japanese drivers that are running that series and
are putting high together quality. These
racing, yes, it's yeah. very high quality and it's very good racing. Like,
well, that's where Ryo Harakawa came out of.
Yep. Yeah, and that's where
I mean, Kumi came out of there.
Yep.
I
think
they didn't have it back. I don't think they had it when Taku ran.
I think
Takuma.
Acura's test driver or their fourth driver for yeah. the, I mean, the 24 they got Ota. Some... He's
oh yeah, in Ota. There right now. Yeah. And next year, like Jack Doohan's going to be there, and
wait a minute,
Rover Perrin.
Hold on. Speaking of Doohan, the man who replaced him got his contract re-upped for next year in F1.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Lance Stroll III. Oh, God, don't get me going.
So, and the other bit of rumor news that was going around was apparently some of the ex-Renault engineers that have moved to Ferrari that were developing the supposed Renault engine for 26. They got to Ferrari and said that they should have kept going with their engine because they were looking better than Ferrari's.
Oh, God.
If that's true, it's just
if they hired all those Renault guys, they'd completely rework in the power plant.
I know. It's sad, but it's funny at the same time.
And just another thing that got announced today was the Red Bull car launch.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be in Detroit.
Yep.
I'm sure. Well, Max will like it because it's like Detroit in the winter is like being in you know, the Netherlands. So
maybe
I just can't really see Max in Detroit. Well, Max in Detroit is kind of funny, but anyways.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Whatever. He'll show up.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Cadillac launch at the same weekend? I kind of like a they can duke it out.
I know.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Yeah. On that note.
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.